October 1977. Folder 31. 3118. All these instances I found of divine, logos, or Gnostic truths, material inserting in my writing, it's not inserted. This is just one elongated instance of the natural process of the orthogonal quinos thrusting up from within below such books as Ubik, being both instances of and accounts about the upward thrusting which is going on for me, the supreme moment arriving in 374. Had my 374 experience not occurred, I might suppose my 26-year writing theme to be vain, empty, and foolish. I now, for the first time, see my writing as half one and my 374 experience as half two of a total experience, a surmise and search, then abruptly a finding, as the veil lifted, even though briefly. What happened in 374 was that the real, the thrusting through world which I intuited, proved actually to be there, and not only that, to be accessible under certain circumstances. Not only could it be looked for, it could be found. Rome, circa AD 70, was nothing more or less than the Persis Nine of Maze, and this linear time world of 1976-77 proved to be nothing more than such pseudo-worlds, taken to be real as in Ubik, Joint, and Maze, and Three Stigmata. Yet it has taken me literally years since 374 to see that as Persis 9 is to Delmac O, Rome circa AD 70 is to US AD 1974. I never anticipated such a tremendous payoff, breakthrough, despite the fact that the corpus of my writing is a map, an analysis, and a guide. The 26 years of writing without 374 is a map of nothing. And 374 without the body of writing is conceptually inexplicable. 3164. On a Doonesbury TV special, the overthrow of Nixon was spoken of by a child as the revolution, and the counterculture adult who participated in it said, "Even the trees agree. Pure, undefiled nature has cast away its hull of that which is dead, which halts growth, which stifles and kills the life spirit within. The bushel basket over the lantern, the mystery and paradox is that at the very innermost core of what seems to be evil lies a pure burning light, the light of the world, which rescuers from outside, beyond the farthest ring have come, penetrated to liberate and to reunite with themselves as the source of light. Rescue, then, in the final analysis is a healing, reuniting of that which was originally one, but which somehow broke apart, when bits or a piece of it fell down here and was forthwith imprisoned. The sparks which fell were coated by layer upon layer of the inert, the opaque, the dead and death-dealing rinds, which cause forgetting and loss of identity. Suppose we take this forward from Gnostic terms into the strictly modern world. We say then, that a vast proto-organism existed, embracing at the least several star systems, and ours fell out, was severed from, the giant proto-organism which I saw in my nitrous oxide revelation as a vast vine, Christ, pruned by the Father as gardener. Many cuttings feel no loss, but some do, and these latter the Savior, the original cosmic organism, seeks reunification with upon his initiative, his growing downward, so to speak, into the otherwise lightless realm into which we cut off into bits, descended thousands of years ago. The keystone is restored memory, which is a recollection of ourselves not as separate entities but as stations in a quasi-computer-like proto-organism. Note. Virtually all of Dick's references to computers are metaphorical or part of his new religious terminology. They are rarely technological in the strict sense. It is paradoxical, or at least ironic, that Dick found his natural audience in the digital age, given not only that he died at the era's outset, but also that home computers, I strongly suspect, would only have aggravated his paranoia. I picture him peering deeply into the screen, trying to see who on the other side is watching back. Would there have been any doubt in his mind that someone was there? Even Arthur C. Clarke's more theological meditations, as alluded to earlier herein by Dick himself, accept technology's role in our growing collective insight as a species, albeit while acknowledging the tension that technology begets. But the digital age has engendered a more widespread consideration and acceptance of the possible alternative realities that earlier readers of Dick's fiction relegated to the realm of drug-induced hallucination. The 80s cyberpunks who mapped the emerging computer culture, like Gibson, Rucker, Shiner, and Sterling, counted Dick as among their most prevalent influences, even as Dick might have well wondered what the hell Neuromancer was all about. S.E. Endnote. A vast incorporeal energy which thinks, and whose thoughts are the physical cosmos. We are, each of us, microanalogs of it. Just as each cell of our body contains all the information to retrieve the whole human, each whole human psyche contains the aggregate information, is the information, topologically congruent with the macro-proto-organism. In other words, the macro-proto-organism can be, is, contained within each of us as total individual human psyche. Just as each individual human cell contains complete information from which that human can be retrieved. 3177. As I realized about the cover of the paperback of Scanner, it really shows the dealer and law officer as the two halves of one person, with no hint of warring personalities. Visually, they gestalt into a syzygy, two sides of the same coin. Your dealer is a cop. Your cop is a dealer. I feel as if the scales have fallen from my eyes and I'm seeing lucidly. From Frolics 8 to Tears to Scanner, a logical progression of an in-depth study of jail, tyranny, dope, slave labor camps, and irreality related to lies, this last point mostly in Scanner. Something of this seems hinted at in Faith of Our Fathers, too. Lies, delusions induced by drugs, tyranny. What is shown in Scanner as the lies-enslaving tyranny axis is not simplistically identified as the government, as it is in Tears and Frolics 8. In Scanner, it becomes paradoxical and elusive, with the government perhaps or evidently producing the drug and the clinics and rehab centers perhaps or evidently being deliberate slave labor camps. The drug is there. The work camps are there. The feds are alluded to, but the reader must unravel the puzzle for himself. If it isn't the government, who is it? Is not the definition of government that which is actually in control? And the makers of SD, which turn out to be the slave labor camp owners, are one and the same. It is a de facto government, like the mafia. And look, why are scramble suits necessary? Crime. The mafia, identified as dope elements, have penetrated the authorities deeply. As is said again and again in the novel, all is murked over. Things are not as they seem, as is always the case in my writing. Arctur is not what he appears to be, nor is Donna, nor Barris, nor Mike Westway, nor Newpath. The sides cannot be clearly drawn as good, bad, or us, them, or even pro-dope, anti-dope. November 19th, 1977. Folder 32. 32-3. In February of 1974, I momentarily withdrew assent to the reality of this world. A month later, this world underwent visible changes, and its true nature became perceptible to me. It is, as the Gnostics said, a prison. It is there, but it is not as it appears to be. The immediate reaction to the anime in the world is to say simply that it is out of control. If it is there to reawaken us to our divine origins, however, its malign aspects serve a good purpose. What each of us must do is repudiate the world, which is to say, deny it, while at the same time affirming a sanctified alternate reality, which I did vis-a-vis the golden fish sign. The false quasi-cosmos was denied, and the true sacred reality was affirmed. It was a single act, a movement away from the first to the second. I think I figured out the basic move necessary, an ethical balking. Note. With this important concept, Dick presents the visible universe as a moral test. The challenge is to perceive the injustice of the system of the world and to refuse to cooperate with it. The problem is that the logic of the visible universe is internally consistent and contains no clear indication that it deserves to be rejected. The impetus to withdraw assent must come from a transcendent point of view that impels immediate disobedience. The word balk implies gut instinct rather than intellectual decision. Moreover, one cannot be aware that the visible universe is a test because this would lead to calculated action in light of an expected reward. Dick gives one concrete example of his own balking, his participation in the tax strike organized by Ramparts magazine in 1968. By this worldly standards, this was an illogical decision that led to personal hardship. But by other worldly standards, his refusal was simply the right thing to do. GM. Endnote. That is how the world denying begins. That is the first step in unraveling the counterfeit quality of the world. The Gnostics stressed such a metaphysical strike and pointed out that the archons, who rule this prison world, the wardens, can only harm the body and mind, but not the divine spark. It is a refusal to cooperate with a harmful world, which, once one has balked against it, reveals its ersatz quality. It probably is of extraordinary significance that repudiation of the mundane reality and acknowledgement of the transmundane is a single event or act rather than two. The two realities cannot both exist, evidently. They are counter-realities. This is what the Gnostics believed, that the world stands between man and God and must be eliminated. Who would expect that disavowing the world would instantly expose the divine on the far side of it? Man and God, in essence, belong together against the world, but are in fact separated by the world, which, in the Gnostic view, is the alienating, divisive agency. Well, then, this being so, look at what my writing tends to promote. It promotes a sense of the counterfeit quality of the world. It promotes a repudiation of it, which dissolves it by assisting the withdrawal of assent to it. And finally, by so doing, obliterates the alienating agency and brings man and God together. I can claim this for my work on the theological level. 32.4. What I saw that I term Valis or Zebra must then not have been immanent deity at all, but, as I later realized, a mimicking entity not rising up from within but descending onto objects and processes from above or, better, outside. It had, so to speak, landed here. As with Runciter's words in Ubik, it was penetrating through from, this is the best formulation of all, from behind. Reality is constructed like a ham sandwich. Man is one slice of the bread, then comes the slice of ham, which is the world, then the second slice of bread, which is God. The words in Ubik pierced or filtered through from the other slice, through to man, to us, this slice. It's funny that I could read the exegesis of Philip K. Dick about the world being an alienating, divisive agency that separates man from God, and not instantly perceive the value, perhaps the ultimate value, of my writing and its preoccupation. In point of fact, such novels as Ubik, Maze, Stigmata, etc. tend to dissolve away the world, and, if the Gnostics' three-element situation view is a correct view, God should be reunited with us thereby. Now the incredible accuracy of Ubik can be appreciated. The world is not merely counterfeit, as in Stigmata and all the others. There is more. It is counterfeit, but under it lies another world, And it is this other world, this logos world, which filters or breaks through. Ubik, then, is a step up from Maze and Stigmata in presenting this. It presents a triune situation which evidently is the actual one, whereas the other novels and stories present only the aspect of world as hallucination, without disclosing that another actual one lies beyond, below, or beneath. It is God who, as the far bread slice, takes the initiative toward us, as Runciter does toward Joe Chip and the other inertials. This is what I saw in 374, when, under the power of the Holy Spirit, I read the dream section in tears and found a latent or creeped message embedded in the text. My experience and view, then, are not only Gnostic, but what is more, tend to prove the correctness of the triune Gnostic division. In particular, their view of the world as alienating and divisive between man and God, Joe Chip and Runciter. Had the Gnostic view been wrong, when I abolished the world, suddenly withdrew, assent from it, I would have exposed nothing, no sublime, sacred, divine reality beyond. A religious experience would have turned out to be nothing but a psychotic break. Were the Gnostic triune division wrong, my writing would serve a malign, sick purpose, leading the reader away from reality and toward autism. But the Gnostic triune division is correct. Otherwise, I could not, would not, have had my 274 and 374 et al. Experiences. 32.5. Starting from my true vine revelation, we are kept in a lopped-off relationship to God by the world itself, the faulty pseudo-cosmos in which we find ourselves living. A mere undercurrent sensation of alienation must blossom into something greater, or anyhow can. It can lead to a moral repudiation of the world, the kind of ethical balking such as the Rampart's tax strike. Note: Dick was a signatory to a writers and editors war tax protest petition that appeared in the February 1968 issue of Ramparts, a New Left magazine that opposed the Vietnam War. End note. Or it can lead to an epistemological dissolving away of the world, such as my writings contain. Perhaps where I made my mistake for several years about God being immanent was that whereas I thought I saw him in nature, in point of fact he, like the messages in Ubik, was filtering through nature from beyond, beneath, or below. Nature could either become transparent, or the reality of the divine could, through its boundless power, assert itself through, breach through. The latter is what happened in 374. However, it was not visible to the unenhanced eye. The world did not weaken. God chose to make his move, the real God, not the demiurge. Beyond doubt, the true God could annihilate our pseudo-world, not merely permitting a temporary vision to one person, such as he did for me by having me taken over by the Paraclete, but for everyone. The Paraclete possessing me literally saw through the world, as if it were transparent. I remember that. Wow. Was it something, that gate, those geometric forms, and the presence of Zebra, God, or the cosmic Christ? Lem says that in Ubik, a sacerdotal power buried in the gutter or rubbish for eons has been resurrected. I can begin to see what he might mean by that. 32.7. One fascinating aspect of Ubik is disclosed when the question is asked, where did you, I, get the idea? The origin of the idea, in contrast to virtually all other novels, is evident from the text of the novel itself. Although one must extrapolate from Runciter to whatever Runciter represents, and the state of Coldpack to whatever state we are all in. In the novel, information spontaneously intrudes into the world of the characters, indicating that their world is not what they think it is. In fact, it indicates that their world is not even there at all. Some kind of world is there, but not the one they are experiencing. That time regression is put forth in the novel. and that time regression figured into my 374 experience, this still baffles me. The principle underlying the devolution, reversion, of objects along the form axis in the novel is explained by a reference to Plato's theory of ideal forms. And I guess that applies to our world and to my own experience. However, not until I recently studied the exegesis of Philip K. Dick article on Gnosticism so thoroughly did I begin to understand the triune reality division which must exist and which is also put forth in Ubik if Runciter is God and Joe Chip and the other inertials are analogs of all men. Then the regressed world is the ham in the sandwich and, as in Ubik, must be abolished. As in Gnosticism, this is accomplished, in Ubik, by the revelation of esoteric knowledge about their condition by a deity-like entity lying behind even Runciter, i.e. Ubik. It is this knowledge, not just information, but gnosis, revealed to them, especially to Joe Chip, which makes them aware of their real condition. Therefore, if one knows very much about Gnosticism, which I didn't until a few days ago, one could see the resemblance between Ubik and the Gnostic cosmogony and cosmology. But we are talking regarding the real world of information, which, by being transferred, radically changed history. And it must be realized, I certainly do, even if no one else does, that what broke through was not limited to information, but that theolepsy, one at least, were involved. If I rule out Soviet experiments and occult human groups, vide supra, then we have something not found in Ubik, but although admittedly described as diabolic, in Stigmata. Is theolepsy not specifically what Stigmata depicts? With Chu Z or whatever, Can D, I forget, the Eucharist. What do you get if, as Le Guin suggests, you take a group of my novels and stories and fit them together, especially the three picked up by Bantam? Theolepsy, the gnosis slipping through reality, the world, as illusion concealing another but real world, maze. What an aggregate message those three novels add up to. When I recently reread Stigmata, I saw it for what it was, a penetrating, acute, and exhaustive study of the miracle of transubstantiation, simply reversing the bipolarities of good and evil. What the novel contemplated was, that is, the conclusion it reached, was the startling notion that imbibing of the sacred host culminated, for the imbiber, in eventually becoming the deity of which the host was the supernatural manifestation. Since all of them were consuming hosts of the same deity, they all became the same deity, and their separate or human identities were abolished. They literally became the deity, all of them, one after another. What this constituted in the novel was an eerie kind of invasion. They were invaded on an individual basis, and they were, regarded another way, invaded as a planet or species, etc., which is to say, collectively. This invasion by the deity bears a resemblance to the invasion of the regressed world in Ubik by Runciter's messages and, ultimately, by Ubik itself, as confirmed by the ad starting the last chapter. That ad clarified what Ubik was. It precisely equated Ubik with the Logos. There is no way to get around that. Ubik in Ubik is the same divinity as the Santa Sophia mentioned in Deus Irae. So Runciter and Ubik equals Palmer Eldritch and Chu Z. We have a human being transformed into a deity which is ubiquitous. No one seems to have noticed that Palmer Eldritch is ubiquitous as is Ubik, that the same theme dominates both novels. The Gnostic contribution which Mays makes is the idea of a totally untenable reality glossed over by a mass wish-fulfillment hallucination shared by everyone, and a salvific entity who can extricate you right out of that prison-like world. Maze. Prison-like world glossed over by illusion. Salvific intercessor who can and does extricate you. Induced amnesia. Stigmata. Invasion, penetration of our world by a deity who can become everyone via the host. A mass theolepsy. Ubik. Salvific information penetrating through the walls of our world by an entity with personality representing a life and reality supporting quasi-living force. Collating the three novels, how much of the Gnostic message is expressed? Or, put another way, how much of my 274-374 experience is expressed? One thing left out is the altering of the historic process, which was revealed to me as happening in 374. I suppose, in a sense, that's in Frolics 8. And the breaching through by God and the hosts, the apocalyptic material from Acts and Daniel. There are little sprinkles in other novels and stories. For instance, the idea of anamnesis, expressed negatively, usually in my writing, by the theme of fake memories. Well, that's expressed in Maze, so I've inserted it supra. I wonder what you get if you sit down starting with Rug and read through everything, including such strange stories as Retreat Syndrome, all the way to Scanner. If everything interlocks, what is the total message? I know I scared myself shitless that one night when Iso was down here, and I reread some early stories in Preserving Machine. But my recent study of Gnosticism indicates that below any negative world-negating message, there is an affirmation of God and love.